Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. Kia ora tātou. I'm here to talk about the elections. And I, of course, am presenting my own opinions. These are not the official statements from anybody connected with Planet FM. This is just me talking. But I am trying to encourage people to vote and give people clear information such as the details of the voting forms and where you drop them off and when they are when the deadline is. And so that information has come from voteauckland.co.nz. So today I had hoped that I would interview one of the candidates, one of the mayoral candidates. But that hasn't happened because the person wasn't able to meet their commitment. So it led me to consider, look, why should you vote and why is this important? I mean, a lot of people are focused on the national election, which is coming up next year. They get prepared for all of that. And at the local scene, then they're less involved and engaged. I think 37% of people voted last time round, which was a decrease. And it seems to be a decrease each time. But if you think about your daily life, you think about how you go about things, how you travel, what you enjoy about beaches and parks and playgrounds, whether you go out walking, are the footpaths suitable and easy to negotiate? And when you think about health, your accessible streets, your green spaces, blue spaces, fresh air. This is really an important part of your health. And it's mostly controlled by your local council because they have the biggest input into changing things or protecting things, protecting the natural environment and declogging streets, recycling and rubbish, and the quality of your drinking water, but most of all, the quality of your air that you're breathing. So these are very good reasons to vote. If you care about these things, if you care about your health, if you care about your environment and how easy it is to get around and how easy it is to connect with other people, then it really is important to know who is standing, what's their track record like, what are their values, what are they going to prioritise when it comes to a difficult budget, where are they going to put the emphasis. So just to recap, who you can vote for, you can have a vote for a mayor, so you're allowed one vote to cover a mayor, and you have councillors, 20 councillors across the city, but you don't vote for all of them. You vote for the councillors that cover your area, that are tied to the area that you're in. And so that's why you need to actually probably go to your library and look up your ward, your geographic ward, the 13 of them, and see where the 20 councillors fit into the 13 geographic wards. And then, of course, there's the local board members, and there are 151 of them elected across 21 local board areas. So local board made up of 5 to 9 members. So if you're in a board area that has 9 members, you will have 9 people that you can vote for. And you don't have to vote for people. So you can exercise a vote as you see fit. So If you look and look at the candidates and you don't see a candidate suitable, then you don't have to vote in that space. But you may find that looking across the list of councillors and local board members that there are people that you want to vote for. And so then you can make up your mind as to how you will allocate your votes. Now, the voting actually opens on Friday the 9th of September and closes at midday, 12 p.m. on the 11th of October. So it's not a huge period, but it's a definite window. And the local elections are held by postal vote, so your voting papers will be sent in the mail they'll be sent out by the 9th of September or onwards. So once you complete them, you post them before the 7th of October, if you want them to count, or you can drop them off to a voting box before 12 midday on the 11th of October. Now, I think the voting boxes, this is my opinion, I think they are available in libraries. And it's a good idea to check your enrolment, to check and see whether your details are up to date and you've got the correct address on the roll so that things will come to you. So you can visit vote.nz to check up your enrolment details. And who is eligible to vote? Well, you've got to be at least 18 years old under the current law. You've got to be a New Zealand citizen or a permanent resident. And you need to have lived in New Zealand continuously for at least 1 year at some time to be on the electoral roll. So if you're not sure about any of these things, just have a look at vote.nz. Now, when it comes to candidates, there are a number of local meetings being held around the place. Some groups are organising them. NCAD has got a meeting on the North Shore next Tuesday. So that's the 26th of August. And there are other community groups. Sometimes Rotary does it, sometimes Grey Power has meetings. And I know on the North Shore, they're having one on Friday the 19th of September. And for that one, they're going to have at least two mayoral candidates. They're going to have four prospective councillors. And they're going to have some local board people. Now, obviously, it gets very complicated when you're dealing with somewhere like the North Shore, because you've got somewhere in the vicinity of at least four or five local boards that you could potentially invite. And that just gets to be top heavy in terms of the number of candidates. Nobody can get more than a minute in each, and it's a wasted exercise. So that's why they are being selective, and they're only having four would-be councillors and just a very small group of people looking to go on to local boards. Now, some people are well known, and people vote for a well known name because they don't know what else to do. Sometimes newbies are people coming in who've got a lot of energy and time, and they really want to make a difference. Sometimes older people have got experience. They've been around the block. They've seen things come and go. They've seen how you need to be very strategic and very organised if you want to push for something and see it come to fruition. And some people are realistic. They know that even though they may be holding certain values and having certain intent and have a list of bullet points of things they want to do and things, actions they want to support, but they know that a 3-year term might not actually allow them to do that. They might get to the point where they have the vote and recommend something, but it actually doesn't happen until the next term. And that's one of the frustrations, and that's one of the reasons why people come back time and time again, because they're really committed to following things up and making sure things happen, and they really want to be effective, and they need to be at the table to be effective. So if you've asked yourself these questions, well, why would people keep doing this? That's one of the reasons, one of the strong reasons. Now, I find it quite hard to vote for people if I've only just read something about them. If I haven't eyeballed them, if I haven't seen whether they're a really sincere person that I trust, I don't find it easy just to go on what they've said in an interview on paper. And so I would suggest that you look at the local magazines in your area, because quite a number of them have got articles about people standing, and see what meetings there are available to you to go and meet candidates. So what questions could you be asking people if you're at a meeting, if you get the opportunity to ask, or you get the opportunity to speak directly to them afterwards? What are the sorts of questions you could ask? And I would suggest that if there are local issues like assets that could be sold off, things like the North Harbour Stadium, for example, and you had a strong view that that stadium should not be sold, you might have already expressed this. You might have already gone through the exercise because it came up in this term. But there's nothing to say it won't be back on the table, especially if there's a tight budget. So you need to be sort of prepared in the sense of you need to find out where people stand about selling assets, like the North Harbour Stadium, for example. I'm just picking on one example from one part of the city. So when you determine what are the really crucial things that you want to see preserved, maintained, supported, on the other hand, what are the things that you want action on? Things that you think are not good enough. It's not a high enough standard. We need to raise the bar. And make your list. And then you can actually compare one candidate with another, because you can have your set of questions and you can actually ask maybe one or two of those and ask them of the various candidates. And so that way you can actually come up with a weighting. And you might like the look of someone, but their answers might be a bit wishy-washy. So you would think twice about, well, are they really going to stand up for what they say they support? And are they really going to be effective? Will anyone take any notice of them? Will they actually work collaboratively with others? Because invariably, working alone as a lone ranger around a decision-making table won't necessarily get you very far. And so people who are successful in getting things done are usually people who know how to work that table, know how to get other people on side, even if they are people who vote totally differently normally from them. And so this is politics at its best, I guess, is when people can collaborate and cooperate in order to reach an outcome that the whole community wants, or a large majority in the community want. So I'm just musing, reflecting on what are the possibilities. One thing that I've often encouraged people to do is to find out when a local board is meeting and go along and watch your local board in action. That will be quite difficult because now boards are winding down to go into the electioneering period and they won't be meeting. But sometime some of the boards have got meetings this month and you may be able to slip into a meeting. Meetings can always be attended by the public if it is a normal board meeting. Some workshops are held behind closed doors. Some business meetings have some sensitive material, and so it's commercially sensitive, and so that won't be shared at a public meeting. But there are meetings you can attend. So have a look on the council website and see what meetings are coming up in the next week. The other thing is your local librarian can give you a steer as to how to use the internet to search for background material about the people who are standing, particularly if they haven't stood before. You might need to check what's on their Facebook pages and Instagram and other social media accounts. And that will give you an idea or two about what this person stands for, what they're promoting and so on. And that's really important to can get to see what they're like in different contexts. So the results of this election will be published on the 11th of October. And final results, where there might have been a recount or something like that, final results come out on the 18th of October. So it's not like, it's not drawn out and protracted like a general election can be. It's a lot more cut and dried. Now, these days, there's a lot more automation involved in the whole process, and it's not so difficult. I have worked in polling booths in the past for different elections, and I've also been a candidate in council elections in the past, so I'm reasonably familiar with these processes. And I know some people say, oh, well, it's only one vote, and why should I bother? I mean, if everybody took that approach, we wouldn't elect anyone. And as some people have been very slack and very disinterested, we have had less people involved in the process. And when that happens, you get more extreme results because the people who go to the trouble of voting are usually people who have very, very strong views. And sometimes those views are quite extreme. So it could be possible that you could end up with some people with quite vociferous, extreme views, but at opposite ends of the spectrum. around the same table. And that doesn't make for easy decision making. If more people had voted, there would be a smoother outcome, less extremes. It's just how it would have fallen. So everyone really has a chance to make a difference. Everyone has a chance to have their vote count, and everyone has a chance to improve their environment, improve their neighbourhood, improve the responsiveness of council to the community. And it's all in your hands. Now, if you feel a little bit daunted, set up a voting afternoon. Set up a situation where you sit round with coffee or tea and discuss the situation locally and who's standing, and just have a no holes barred discussion on what's going down, who's got a handle on the issues, and who's prepared to stand up for the community, and who's prepared to make sure that we get good governance at the local board level or at the council level. And the council role is tricky because councillors represent an area, but they also have a responsibility to strategically look at what benefits the whole city as a whole. They can't just look after their area. So their role is a lot more stretched and a lot more complicated. And there's room for more politics, more strategy, and more conflict, and it can be tricky. So what I would say is that concentrate on your local board, because that's close to home and that's what you, the area that you know. And if you've got time left over, look into who is involved with the council and what they are intending to do. The difficulty is that the local board often has very sincere, hard-working people. They have only 10% of the say about the budget. 90% of the budget is really set by Auckland Council. And so that's where your vote for the mayor and your vote for the councillors becomes very important. So in terms of the impact, you do need to put energy into those, into the vote for the mayor and into the vote for the councillor roles. Usually you get two for your area. Now, when I've said mayor, I just want to clarify, I'm talking about the role of the mayor. I'm not talking about the current mayor, in case that sounded misleading. And the mayoral role is different in Auckland from other cities in New Zealand. Auckland has its own Act of Parliament, so all the decisions that are made and the way they are made and the structure is all set out in that Act of Parliament. So that's why there are 20 councillors and the mayor has a casting vote. The mayoral role is not just one of wearing chains and driving a very flash car and opening and closing buildings and being at ceremonies. That happens everywhere. But in Auckland, the mayor has a particular role in terms of holding a vision for the city. That's the mayor's job. They must create this vision of the city, where it's going into the future, and they must take account of the complexity of the city in terms of the population, the cultures, the age and stage of development of the peoples in different areas, and the needs of the people. So there's got to be an emergency management plan that fits the need. And I think we have seen in the last term how important that was, how critical it is. And sometimes people find themselves in a role and they haven't thought about really all that it entails. But an event can occur quite out of the blue that is very testing and challenges all your accepted thinking. And this is why you need to have somebody who's got a certain amount of stability, a certain amount of strength, a certain amount of inner purpose, a certain amount of commitment to the well-being of people, and a certain amount of capacity to take advice and to make decisions. You can't actually be a slow decision maker if you've got an emergency on your hands. You can't say, oh, I'll leave it till next week, or I'll wait for my right-hand advisor to come along. So these are the things that I think you need to think about when you're preparing. And I wish you and encourage you to enjoy and take delight in being out there and just being open to asking questions. Sometimes the most amazing things happen when you just ask the question. It's not just the answer, but how they answer. And, yeah, to enjoy the process. And we will have some further input on this over the next few weeks. Thank you for your listening, and we'll enjoy having you back next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Hold on to the ammunition.